And then you have the heathen who are known as the Gentiles that Paul is going to minister. Where we were last week, I just want you to understand, this is who Paul would minister to. Now, something else you may want to note in Paul's epistles, a lot of times we forget. You got to remember, he was a Jew. He was just like these. He was killing people who would name the name of Christ before he received the gospel, right? Before he was saved in Acts chapter 9, right? So you got to understand, these are who Paul's talking to. That's why it says he goes to the Jew first. To the Jew first. To the Jew first. You notice he doesn't say he goes to Israel first. It's to the Jew. To the Jew. To the Jew. And then to the Gentile. For all who believe. Right? Romans 1:16. Okay? So you got to remember that, because the issue is about the gospel of Christ. The issue over here is the gospel of what? It's the gospel of the kingdom. Right? That flock is going to die in their faith, and they'll be resurrected. So here, what you got to remember, when Paul is talking to the heathen or the uncircumcision, he is also referring to those unbelieving Jews. Sometimes you get caught up and you think he's just talking to Gentiles. Well, in Galatians, he's in Acts and he's walking through the temple still, right? So you got to remember, they are counted. You understand, these Jews, you think how mad they got. They are counted as heathen, as uncircumcised, although they've been circumcised. Because they're cut off. Okay? So those things, remember, when Paul is talking here in the book of Acts, know who he's talking about. Now, in saying all that, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, where we left off in verse 15. Just to remind us real quick. Now, while you're turning to 2 Peter 3, in verse 15, I'm going to read where we've been in 1 Corinthians 4, 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Now we know what gospel Paul preached. "Through the gospel, wherefore I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you." That is a word that is so strong that in the English language we weaken it. Okay? He says, "I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Paul made a lot about himself, didn't he? And a lot of people don't like it, but that's just the way it is. He made a lot about himself. Why? Because it was given him this gospel. Now what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, he says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, written unto you, hath written unto you. As also in" what? "All his epistles." His epistles, people say, "Well, you just make much about Paul. Why don't you just read Paul's letters?" Well, I don't just read Paul's letters. But for my doctrine today, and dealing with the salvation, and what I count on for my salvation today, they're in Paul's epistles. Okay? Because we're not Israel. And he says, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, they twist them. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." Let me tell you something. You can talk about Christ all you want. You can be an instructor in the name of Christ all you want. But if you share the gospel wrong, if you add to the gospel, or take away from the gospel, or try to mingle apostles that are together that were given different gospels, it's not a gospel at all. And you will not lead somebody to Christ that way. They will always add to their salvation, or take away from the salvation, or they'll make it about what they did, and not trusting in the fact of what Christ did, the faith of Christ. Your translations already do it for people. Then what kind of battle do you think you have in front of you? It's huge. You are the underdog when it comes to living this world trying to reach a group of people, because first of all, they're going to think you're crazy. Because I'm going to tell you what's so much easier. It is easier to learn it wrong. It is easier. Now, there's some words that are so much easier to read when you read other things. But would you rather have it right or have it wrong? We've got to have it right, guys. There's only one way. Now, in saying that, okay, to understand that, we don't bash and implore and nail people by that. We become gentle, tender-hearted. We love them. Sometimes we can become quite the opposite. I was talking to Joe this morning. I've been to conferences over the last few years, and I'm telling you, there's some speakers that get up, and I'm going to tell you what, if I was in another translation, if I would always gone to somewhere else and didn't understand the grace movement at all, or understand the grace of the gospel at all, I would probably be offended or feel like you've slapped me upside the head if you're not careful. There's a way to be. While we're there, just go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I didn't plan on going here either. That's okay. And no, the Holy Spirit didn't lead me to it by smacking me or anything like that. It's just I remember the Scriptures. It's the bottom line. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, just for the sake of time, go to verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. That's, you know, a lot of people think follow righteousness like the angels sing and you live a certain way. And you know what that is? It's follow rightness. Now, how do we follow righteousness? How do we follow things that are right? Through all the Scriptures or through the doctrine that was given to Paul? You follow Paul's doctrine. Okay? That's why when he says, study to show thyself approved, the workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing. That was even rightly dividing Paul's Gospels or Paul's epistles. Okay? You have to rightly divide everything. Everything has a progression. Okay? But he says, look, but foolish and unlearned questions, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What's your motive? Being pure. It's hard to do this with a big group. You've got to love people individually, one at a time. You can't go into a group and just bash everybody's head in. There's a way to do it, to minister to people that need to understand the gospel. Look at verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do generate strife. How often do we try to bring up a subject that just isn't specific in the Scripture and we try to make a big deal about it? Avoid those things. You know what that does? It shadows the cross. The song that Abby sang, lead me to the cross, take man out of the way, those 10,000 instructors, and the issue is about Christ and the cross and your salvation. What did Paul say he preached? Preached Christ crucified. Now, if Paul knew, was so familiar with Scriptures and knew so much, and his main target was preaching Christ crucified, why do we think we've got to be all theological over all these things that are deep? Nothing wrong with sitting down with a group of men and talking, or ladies, and smoking a cigar if y'all like cigars or whatever. You know, I don't care. But it's fun to talk about crazy stuff. I mean, Grant can bring up some stuff that I never think about sometimes, but and it's fun to do that. But to think that you're going to lead somebody to Christ that way, it generates strife. There's also another way to be. In verse 24 it says, and the servant, that'd be you, wouldn't it? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You do understand when you see that, when you see somebody that says that oppose themselves, what do you think of? Somebody that's just belligerent and evil and mean and just doesn't like us. In the English language, when we read that, we think of somebody that's just a rebel, don't we? But you know, the person that opposes himself is the person that hasn't rightly divided, that has been church all their life and just trusts in what the man says, the instructor. And he just constantly fights and battles to be a better person. You realize he's opposing himself. Because he's taken away the fact of what Christ did at the cross instead. You know that. So those are people, you got to understand, when you're being gentle, tender-hearted, having the ability to teach somebody,
understand, they don't even know it, but they are opposing themselves. You can't. It makes me think of somebody that's drowning. You know, what do they say? That person, just don't fight with them, or I can knock them out. I don't know what. But there's a way that you do it, right? There's just a certain way that you do it. And there's a way that you share this gospel of Christ and you become a follower of Paul as he is of Christ. You don't belligerently beat people up. And so that's why we're here this morning, to learn the Scriptures so that we can be gentle. So that we can say, hey, I know you said this, but have you ever thought the Word of God says this in certain Scripture? Now, have you ever thought about this? Use the Scripture. Because then when they say you're crazy, you can say, well, I didn't say it. The Word said it. See the difference? They can fight with the Word all day, and they get mad at you all day. That's why we need to know the Scripture. We need to be gentle. Be able to teach. Right? Let's continue on. It says in verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So what's the issue? It's not what they do. It's that they come to the point to where they change their mind. They're repentant. They say, you know what? I thought this way, and now I think this way. And they see the truth totally out there. When I first started grasping this stuff, when I first started rightly dividing the Word, and I saw the differences, there were things that I had to not acknowledge all on the way. Steve was patient with me. Hogue was patient with me. Men that had grasped this were patient with me and allowed me to think what I wanted, but yet I came to a point of repentance. I didn't turn from my wicked ways and run to an altar. No. I changed my mind about what the Scripture said and what it meant. Okay, don't think that word repentance is turning from something. God said He was repentant. He didn't walk a certain way and turn around and come the other way. Okay, He was perfect, and yet He was repentant. Right? So, you got to remember that. Now, in verse 26, it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by Him at His will. Now, to understand this, if you go above it, there's these people that are named, I think it's Hymenaeus and, what's the other guy's name? Yeah, Hymenaeus and Philetus. I'd probably be mad if you named me that too. But they were people that were sharing the Scripture wrongly. It's in verse 17 of chapter 2. And he goes on, he's telling these people that the resurrection hasn't come. Don't worry about that. Paul's writing these letters because Hymenaeus and Philetus has blown their mind about different things. It says, look, you need to know the Word. You need to rightly divide. You need to be apt to teach. You need to be gentle. You need to be tenderhearted. So you got to know where Paul's coming from. Now, I know I said all that, but it's important how we share the gospel. Okay? Now, go back to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Are y'all with me? Y'all tired this morning? Or everybody okay? I'm kind of quiet. Of course, you better be. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Go to verse 14 and we're going to go through 17. I said all this because I hope you understand the end of this chapter. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Now, we're going to read through a little bit. I write not these things. Everybody there? I want you to see this. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Now let's remember what's gone on so far. People were making a lot about man. They were making a lot about instructors. They were making a lot about all these things that were going on that Paul never taught. Although they had grasped this truth of the gospel, Paul has written them this letter because there are some things that are going on. And he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. That means, although others may have named Christ, Paul preached about the risen Christ. Right? Others weren't preaching about the risen Christ. They were preaching other things, which would be a different Christ. And he says,
Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. In verse 17 it says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. St. Paul had already been there. They had been saved. They had grasped the truth. And now Timotheus is there so that they would bring to remembrance his ways, which be in Christ. It's not that remember my ways because I was the best, or remember my ways because I was a good person, but remember my ways. Why? Because my ways were the ways that were in Christ. Okay? As I teach everywhere in every church. Now, this is early in Paul's ministry, right? A lot of people have a habit of saying that Paul taught the gospel of the kingdom for a while until he received the full gospel of grace. What did he say here? You can knock that right there. He says, which be in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul never preached anything but the gospel of Christ. It's all he preached. So, he was faithful in the Lord. Timothy would keep the faith, and that's what he wanted them to do. Verse 18. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Now, do you remember what we just read in 2 Timothy about how to come? How to come out to these people? How to be gentle? Now, Paul says, look, some of you are puffed up. You're following a different way. Okay? And Paul says, what will you? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Now, where was this power that Paul was coming to him? Where was the power? Is in the cross of Christ. He talked about that in chapter 1. Right? The difference were in the words. The difference wasn't in popularity, 10,000 instructors and all these people coming around and listening. The difference was in the power of the cross. And when Paul was going to come to them, he wasn't going to come to them with a rod and beat them down. He was going to come to them with the power of the cross. The Word. What the Word say. It wasn't in man. Remember Paul says, they read in chapter 1 about some say you're baptized by him. Some say you're baptized by him. So it wasn't about the man. It was about the power of the cross and in the Word. It was in the words of God. Power wasn't come by lightning bolts from Paul. And he wasn't come to them with a rod to beat them into submission. Let me tell you something. In times past, Israel, if they acted out, what would happen? They were judged. If a woman was married and was found that she was not a virgin before she was married, what did they do with her? They drug her out in the street and they stoned her. By the way, understand, there would be somebody that would stay at the door and wait on the sheep to be given. That's how serious it was. There was judgment continually in all these before the God. I mean, it was a serious thing. Paul wasn't coming in that way. He says, look, I'm not coming to you with a rod, I'm coming to you with love. Paul, you talked about the issue of those people who live certain lifestyles and those things that all these things that we get involved with in this world that have nothing to do with our salvation. That's what Paul's saying here. We make so much to do with it. We judge people by how they look or what they do or what they say, but it has nothing to do with their salvation. So Paul's coming to them in love, hoping that they can repent. They can acknowledge the truth now. See, these people had trouble acknowledging the truth because they were caught up in scholars. They were caught up in Jews' religion. They were caught up in people from Athens that was from the intelligence of the world who knew the stars and would mesmerize people with their knowledge. And so are we. And it ain't that these people are bad people going out and, well, they're fishing today or they're out drinking or what. That's not the issue. The issue is that they're unable to acknowledge the truth
Because they oppose themselves and they're doing the will of Satan and they don't even know it, because while they're doing it, they're standing up singing songs and raising their hands and thinking that they're doing good favors for Christ, and they go out of the church thinking, God, see how good I am, and they're lost as a goose because they've not acknowledged the truth that the fact is they're saved by what Christ did at the cross, which is the power. Paul said, I'm coming to you with a rod, but now I'm going to come to you with love. And he says, I warn you guys that know the truth. Although you've had 10,000 other instructors, I'm sending you Timotheus because he kept the faith, the doctrine. Okay? Now, did these people lose their salvation? Absolutely not. But they were of no use as a minister. They were of no use as having the peace of God. Let me show you somebody that's religious, that is well more church than I am. They're usually miserable if they don't know the truth. You know why? Because they're trying to get a little bit better every time. Now, I have the peace of God, but I haven't separated myself from acknowledging the truth of the gospel. I don't have peace with God. You know, there's a difference. The peace of God is the fact that Christ saved me and I trust in that. Peace with God is to know that I know the Scriptures rightly, to where I'm confident in my life with Christ. And there's a difference, and you got to know it by knowing the Scriptures. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. My whole point is this. There's a lot of people that are churched all day long. There's a lot of people that are raised and they have rules in their family, and moms and dads have morals and ethics and all this stuff. Right? I mean, we're raised that way. My family was very proud with the way that we were raised. Man, you had morals or ethics. You said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Now, that doesn't happen as much today. But in other areas, we are training our kids to be respectful and to do that. And that's a good thing. But we make much of it. And here was the issue with these people being instructed by probably people who had morals and ethics. Jewish people followed the law much better than we could have. They were very moralistic. They came across as very good people. But they were lost. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, and look what Paul says. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The issue isn't how good you are. The issue is you're either lost or you're saved. You take care of the rest after that. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, okay, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, if God is the God of this world, why in the world would He be hiding those that are blinded? Because He's not the God of this world. Satan is. Now, people get mad at you for that. But look, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Does God blind the minds of them which are lost? God shines the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. So today, again, we've had the discussion a few weeks ago, do not think that God Almighty is the God of this world. He ain't. Now, Christ is in me, but my things are in heavenly places. I'm in this world, but I'm not what? Of this world. Well, these people had become of this world, even though Christ was in them. So what happens to them? All those things are burned up. Right? That's what we read about last week. Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, that's us, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. Now get this, this verse is huge. Verse 7, but we have this treasure. These people had a treasure, and so do we. And look what he says, in earthen vessels. Let me tell you something. I've got this earth suit on. This is a vessel that I'm going to use, hopefully that Christ will be manifested through me to the world to be gentle, tender-hearted, able to teach, to show truth, to show rightness, to show those things where people can acknowledge the truth. I have this treasure, and it's in earthen vessels, right?
And look what it says. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You can have instructors and teachers today that are as right as they can be. But if that light shines on them as though they're somebody, if they have no humility, let me tell you something. They have blown it. Because people can't see Christ. And there's a lot of people that are right, but they're so focused in how you look at them and how well they carry a message that they still hide the glorious of the gospel of Christ. They still hide the power of Christ. The issue is, that's why Paul said that he is nothing. It's not about him as a man. It's about what is shared of Christ. Now, I know I'm good to look at, but I'm kidding. My point is you don't have to be some slob or try to fake your humility either. But if you're apt to teach, don't make the teaching about yourself and how smart you are. You make the teaching of that this Word can change lives. Does that make sense? There's a lot of people that can become very intelligent in the Scriptures. And you know who they make much of? They want people to follow them. I've been there. I'm telling you, I've been there. I wanted people to notice me and what I knew. I know I did. I know I did. And I blew it because of that. We don't need to become that way because we have the truth now. Okay? We need to be gentle, tenderhearted. And he goes on to say in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Have y'all ever heard that verse and hear a preacher say it like he's taking on an army? You go to TBN, they'll say it sometime this week. And they say this making so much of themselves. You ever seen that? I mean, they'll scream it out and get everybody hollering and hooping like it's making a difference. I don't think Paul did that here. He said, we're troubled. I mean, we've been shaken. We've been, you know. And he don't holler across the stage. The issue is, he's sharing the power of Christ, which is the cross. And then he goes on, he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in what? Our mortal flesh. Okay, that's what it's for. If you put stock in your body, like you're going to get it somewhere someday, forget it. It ain't going to happen. This body's going to be burned up. Anything that I count on in the flesh will be burned up. A sense of the Spirit of what's important. I'm going to stop there just because it's been a little bit late. Next week I'm going to cover a few other things that I want you to see that we won't be in Corinthians, but it carries out to this because I want you to see those things that Israel did, okay, and the transition. I think it's important that we see the transition between Israel and those Jews. So we'll probably cover next week Acts 2 real quick. We'll cover Acts 10, Acts 11, and Acts 15. And you will see how things started changing. Because I think as you study this in 1 Corinthians, it's important to know that Paul was going to Jews, but he was going to these Jews who were counted as heathen, as uncircumcised. Israel's off the scene. I always got tickled in the book of James. I always got tickled in the book of James because people would always go through the book of James. They could make you feel so guilty. Man, the book of James, I'm telling you, it can make you feel so guilty. But I never read the first verse in the first chapter. Notice who it's to. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the letter to? I'm glad you asked. It says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. A great letter. if you want to know more about Israel. But it ain't to you. Not at all. And it's important that you know those things. That we see that as we read these letters. He's talking to the flock. He's not even talking to these people. Because why? These people were told to read what? Paul's epistles. So when you read James, don't think that it's all the Jews, but it's to that flock. It's prophecy. It's things that are going to happen. Paul, you close in prayer?
Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the understanding.